Shortly after we had our conversation with the print center, Robert had a family emergency and wasn't able to record the introduction and outroduction to this week's episode. So today we have Eli Alfer joining the podcast for last weekend in review, as well as what we're looking forward to next weekend. Eli is a dancer with Ballet X and has been with the company for 3 seasons. He is a graduate of the USC Gloria Kaufman School of Dance, friend of the pod. Eli, thank you for joining me today.
Ooh, thank you so much, Lucinda. Wow, that was quite an intro. I want to take this opportunity because I'm sure she wouldn't do it herself, but I actually met Lucinda at a Barry's class. I used to work there, Barry's Bootcamp on Sansom Street, and Lucinda is an amazing, amazing client and person. And when she was pregnant, she was still coming in, and us behind the desk were all wondering, like, how long is she going to be able to keep this up? We want her to take care of herself, but we also don't want her to go. And Lucinda was one of the hardest workers in the room. She's inspired me since then. So I'm so happy to be here with you, Lucinda. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I had to share the story.
That was glowing. You know?
Yeah.
So, Eli, can we talk Swan Lake?
Yes, I would absolutely love to. So you saw it recently, too?
I saw it on Saturday night.
Okay, I went Friday evening, mm-hmm. So we saw different casts. Mm-hmm. Who did you see?
Oksana Maslov was the Odette Odile mm-hmm. role. In Jack Thomas,
yes.
Was the Prince Siegfried.
Correct. Okay. Friday it was a little bit different. I saw Nayara, mm-hmm. who I know is a Philly fave. And I also saw Zicheng, and I know he goes by Z by some friends. And amazing, amazing, amazing.
For those who are unfamiliar with the plot, the swans are actually under a spell by a sketchy AF sorcerer. Is mm-hmm. that correct?
That's correct.
And they transform into their human form only at midnight?
Humans by day, swans by night.
Okay.
Is that correct? It might be the other way around, but they're partially human, mm-hmm. also swans, mm-hmm. depending on maybe the time of day.
Okay. And that's how the prince falls for a debt.
Yes.
So one thing I wanted to mention about this is that whoever is performing that role, mm-hmm. do they perform a dual role?
Right. So traditionally, the role of Odette and Odile are played by the same principal ballerina.
Okay. I have a question about that because mm-hmm. there's that one part of the ballet where Odile is on stage and in the background is a window.
Yes.
And that's Odette.
Yes.
Both of those women looked a lot like Oksana. So is mm-hmm. that something that is videoed? Do you know if that's something that is videoed?
I actually think they use two dancers.
Okay.
They just tried it, and it's a scrim that's backlit, so it appears in silhouette, right? So they don't have to, you know, look identical.
Right.
You're not going to see, like, their face typically. But I believe there is a dancer back there to show that, oh, she saw the betrayal,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. because obviously the same ballerina is out there performing the Black Swan role.
Right.
Yes.
I was just puzzled. It was mm-hmm. remarkable just how much they look similar to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to say that usually fans of ballet can pinpoint a solo or a pas de deux or pas de what have you
totally.
As a favorite part of the production, mm-hmm. right? But I just cannot wrap my head around how fantastic the core was. They were so synchronized, just down to their eyelids.
Mm-hmm.
It was ever impressive, the Swan Squad.
Yes. I love that, Swan Squad.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy you brought that up because actually when I go see dance performances, particularly large ballet companies like the Philadelphia Ballet, I am always looking for the big core moments
mm-hmm.
because I think it's so much more impressive when a choreographer or rehearsal director restaging the work or whatever can really, you know, unite the troops.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every dancer has such a different background and stuff, but when so many bodies come together on stage for a united cause, I think the visual effects that are possible are just so stunning. I mean, you'll probably remember where they're just like doing some arm movements, but they're all going around mm-hmm. in different formations, mm-hmm. how stunning that is and how powerful it is. And so I am always drawn to the core, but especially in Swan Lake, it also felt very appropriate. I don't know, when I was sitting there for Women's History Month. especially towards the end of the ballet when I just saw all these women on stage and I knew how strong they had to be, act four. They'd probably done other diverts or other roles earlier in mm-hmm. act one or three, and they're back there mm-hmm. all together. It was a powerful moment. And so I'm glad you liked it too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And can you explain for the person that might not be
an avid ballet goer.
What does core mean?
Typically, ballet companies are divided into ranks. There's mm-hmm. like a ranking system. So once you make it into the company, you'll typically join as a corps de ballet member, corps being C-O-R-P-S, corps,
that's right.
The corps. This is typically the largest rank, and they make up the swans in Swan Lake. Then moving up the ranks, you'll probably have demi-soloist, then there'll be maybe first soloist, and then principal. There are different rankings, sub-rankings, wherever you go. I know at Paris Opera Ballet, you can make it to étoile, which is translates
star.
To star, star.
Yes.
And that is prima ballerina level. They have a few étoiles I know right now. Yes, that's typically the ranking system. So if you're a core dancer, you're probably going to be dancing more. You can think of it as an ensemble role, providing kind of the framework and the background of a lot of the narrative works that ballet companies do.
Did you get into anything else last weekend?
So I was very much looking forward to Swan Lake. It was definitely the highlight of my weekend. Come Saturday, I had a very, very chill and lazy day. Other than I was very productive in the book that I am reading. I joined a book club this year, Lucinda, which I went to USC, as you mentioned, and I majored in dance. So as you can imagine, it wasn't too much reading. It was a lot of moving my body. We did read some stuff, but I realized I hadn't really picked up a book in the longest time. And we're reading one per month. So I found myself with just a relaxing day. And I read pretty much the entire book on Saturday. And it
good
was so, so good. Loved it.
Well, what book was it?
So it's called Tell Me Everything by Elizabeth Strout. It's also in Oprah's book club. It's basically not about too much, just about all these characters in a fictional town and how their lives kind of overlap and cross each other. And the author just does a great job of building empathy with these characters. There's a lot of just real life stuff, a lot of sad stories and stuff, but you find yourself, you know, empathizing with them, which made the read just really enjoyable. And it was a perfect way to spend my Saturday. We are working hard at Ballet X right now, getting ready for our next show. Mm-hmm. So I really just wanted to be horizontal for a lot of Saturday. What about you, though? Anything else this weekend?
Saturday mornings are always dedicated to toting around my oldest to all of his extracurricular activities.
All right.
He's got two Saturday mornings, and they're back-to-back. Afterwards, we headed over to Museum for Art and Wood, where we saw the Longest Distance Between Two Lines exhibition.
Mm.
And it's from artist Katie Hudnall. And it was incredible. It's a very mechanical exhibition. They have staff there to demonstrate it, and they'll pull, for instance, one of a bank of library drawers. Through a system of pulleys, it can move a piece that is 30 feet away. And it's indescribable. You have to go there to see it.
I love that. So I think I would enjoy this exhibit.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
She definitely hit it.
Okay.
And then after we left the Museum for Art and Wood, Petit Garçon and I just bop around Old City looking at several art galleries.
Mm-hmm.
They just had First Friday the night before. The galleries turn over a new
sure.
show.
Uh-huh.
So there was
totally.
A lot of new stuff to see.
Yeah.
I think we'll wrap up this intro.
Totally.
And on to the conversation.
Greetings. This is Robert Marsh, and you're listening to Philly Has Heart Podcasts. In this podcast, we sit down with artists, gallerists, educators, curators, and other creatives who comprise the Philadelphia art world to discuss upcoming performances, exhibits, and other events and initiatives that are not to be missed. The art scene in Philadelphia is so rich that it can seem daunting. Consider this your weekend cultural recommendation. With me always is my producer, Lucinda Deggerland.
Hello, hello.
And today we have Lauren Rosenblum of the Prince Center. We're so happy to have you today.
It's nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Could you please let us know a little bit about the Prince Center and what its origin story is?
So the Print Center is what I consider a legacy organization. It has had a long-term commitment to fostering the growth and understanding of printmaking, and within the last few decades, photography as well. We think of both of these mediums as a form of vital contemporary art. We have exhibitions, we issue publications, and we have a robust educational program. Our hope is that with our global outlook, we can also foster local commitment to the visual arts. We work with emerging and established artists, and we strive to make art accessible to all.
Excellent. That sounds great. Thank you, Laura. When did you join the Print Center?
I've been in Philadelphia on staff since June of this past year.
Very nice.
But I've had a longer relationship with the Print Center. I curated two exhibitions over the course of fall 2023 and spring 2024. And having previously lived in Philadelphia about 20 years ago, I was well familiar with the work of the Print Center.
Oh, wow. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the exhibitions that are currently at the Print Center?
So the Print Center has three rotations of exhibitions each year. We have a fall exhibition, a winter exhibition, and a spring exhibition. Every winter, we host the annual international competition, a juried show that attracts hundreds of artists working in printmaking and photography to submit their work for consideration by two jurors, and three of the finalists will present solo exhibitions. So this year we invited Drew Sawyer, curator of photography at the Whitney Museum of American Art, and Dr. Claudia Zapata, curator of Latinx art at the Blanton Art Museum in Austin, Texas.
Oh, wow. The jurors are from outside of the Print Center.
That's correct.
Oh, that's excellent.
It's really wonderful to have curators as esteemed as and knowledgeable to really bolster the purview and introduce new ideas into the curatorial work we do at the Print Center. If you consider the fact that the Print Center staff is about five people, and that I'm the only full-time curator, our capacity to introduce new artists to Philadelphia is expanded greatly when we're able to extend invitations to outside curators.
Yes, definitely.
They bring unique perspectives, different interests. They're attentive to different ideas that are circulating nationally or internationally. Drew is an expert in photography with special attention to issues of queer photography. Claudia is particularly interested in Latinx art as well as printmaking. So to know that we have two experts in these areas helping us to understand and observe currents, the kinds of issues and mediums and techniques that artists are working in today, helps us to see these potential exhibiting artists afresh. In terms of the juried process, we invite the jurors to review all of the applicants. They go through hundreds of these applications, primarily just sifting through the submitted images of the artworks. They narrow down this pool of artists to 35 semifinalists and 10 finalists. And from that group of 10 finalists, we as a team at the Print Center select three artists for individual exhibitions. So currently on view, we have three shows by three artists. The first is Black Diamonds, the Black Outlaw Bikers by photographer Alana Aritam, who works and lives in Tucson, Arizona. We have the show The Sense of Brown by Anaheim-based photographer William Camargo. And then we have a beautiful printmaking exhibition called Echela Canas by Rhode Island-based printmaker Juana Estrada Hernandez.
Oh, wow.
And these have opened in January and will stay on view until April 5th.
Okay, so all three are on view now.
That's correct. The Print Center building is a 19th century carriage house that has its quirks and idiosyncratic nature to it. It has these beautiful windows facing Latimer Street and a really kind of modernist addition off the back, built in the 1960s. And we have three galleries.
Nice.
So at any given time, we could have three exhibitions like we do now, or one exhibition filling the entire space.
Lovely. Could you tell us a little bit about your Artists in Schools program that you have?
So as I mentioned, we have a couple of primary or foundational programs at the Print Center. One is our exhibition program. Another is our gallery store, both of which take place within our building. But our Artists in Schools program is a way to create educational programming that stems from the work we do, but reaches out into our Philadelphia community. For the Artists in Schools program, we partner with Philadelphia-based artists, as well as Philadelphia Title I schools, to bring those artists into the classroom. These artists partner with educators and high school classrooms to develop art activities, art programming, that is based in the themes and ideas that we are exhibiting in our galleries. Wow. And in return, we also ensure that these high school students can then visit the print center and engage with the ideas directly in front of the art.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah. And so we create these wonderful partnerships with both artists working in Philadelphia, supporting them and creating ideally some professional opportunities, and also hopefully expanding access to the students in our city.
Lauren, you mentioned the gallery store. I know that whenever I think of a store in relation to a museum, it's a little bit more commercial than I think what you guys have at the Print Center. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that is correct. We are a nonprofit, and as I was saying, one of our central missions is to uplift the work of Philadelphia artists. One way we can do that is through exhibitions, allowing artists to create ideas through display. And another is to make artworks by Philadelphia artists available for purchase. We work directly with these artists, inviting them to make works available in our store. So anyone can come in and take a look around. We have a whole host of different styles made by artists through various stages in their career and really at very reasonable price points as well.
Excellent.
We have artist books. We have illustrated catalogs. We have tote bags. The idea is that prints and photography are accessibly priced mediums, and that working with our gallery store manager, somebody could find something for their own home and know that they're directly supporting the work of community artists.
A great place to pick up some gifts, you know, even through the holiday season.
For
Mother's
sure.
Day is coming up eventually, you
Mother's
know.
Mother's Day is coming up, guys.
The store is open when the print center's open, so Tuesday
Perfect.
Through Saturday, 11 to 6.
Excellent. For those younger generations of Philadelphians, how can they be engaged with the Print Center?
There are a number of ways. You're welcome to drop by whenever we're open. We're generally welcoming a group. We're going to say hello. We're going to ask what brings you in, if there's any questions we could answer. For every exhibition, we have an opening reception. We also have rotating programs. For every exhibition, we'll host an artist talk so that our community could hear from the artists themselves.
We love those. Those are the best. I mean, really, and I'm going to say it every time someone brings them up, the opportunity that an audience member can have when you get to actually speak with the artist to learn about their process and about what they were thinking about, or how they interpret the art themselves versus the way that you might have interpreted the art is invaluable.
He has said this nearly
every episode. I just love
it's
them.
True.
I do.
Well, I have to say I do as well. In the short amount of time that I've been making exhibitions at the Print Center, I've really come to see my role as being kind of a conduit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I find that we work with artists at this really special moment in their careers where they've accrued experience and confidence in their practices and mm-hmm. what they make, and that we're oftentimes just a welcomed opportunity to present that to the world. So I have the privilege of having these very deep conversations about motivation, intent, aspiration for their work, and trying to help facilitate that realization in physical space. And so I'm in a privileged position to ask the kind of questions that I know will light up their faces
yeah.
and inspire them to really connect with an audience, because I have had the opportunity and I've been inspired by them as well. And, you know, I'm also really pleased to be part of the Print Center community that gets in there, asks questions, wants to know, welcomes people when they visit from out of town, welcomes artists when they're coming in from out of town, and is keen to be there as well. That it's usually a casual experience, one that really goes deep. People want to know, how things are made, why they're made, and the stories behind them. And you often find that at a print center program. Yeah.
Lauren, can you share a little bit about your like curating process and how you go to selecting the artists and then potentially giving us a little insight on what goes into pulling all of their art together?
Well, that's a very big set of questions.
Yes, it is. Sorry.
I'll do my best. The Print Center's focus on printmaking and photography is actually quite rare. We're one of very few organizations committed to contemporary printmaking and one of a handful that extends that to photography as well. So a lot of my work is really understanding what artists are doing, looking at what artists are making, trying to understand what inspires them, what techniques they're using, what ideas they're thinking through, and the means of communicating that. And so in part, the work of organizing exhibitions is knowing what artists are making. Mm-hmm. And so that will really propel a solo exhibition, right? The identification of somebody who can make a really strong statement, who really is thinking through things in a unique way and trying to communicate them in a process-oriented and in an expansive way. Mm-hmm. On another level, think about themes and ideas that either the artists themselves feel potent or I feel is particularly potent to address our times. And that's bringing together, right, group shows, exhibitions that are particularly strong in communicating relevant ideas. Our city in 2026 is going to be thinking a lot about the legacy of the founding of our nation and the Declaration of Independence.
Yes.
And so this is an example of a whole arts community that's going to be thinking through how their institution can contribute to that conversation. And the Print Center plans on doing that as well, thinking about the ways in which historically printmaking has been a medium that allows artists to think about what it means to be participating in democratic life, mm-hmm. and having civic ideals and concerns. And so we will be partnering with printmaking workshops across the United States in order to do that. To make an exhibition, I often find myself directly in dialogue with artists, going to their studios, looking through what's there, speaking with them about the prints, photographs, or even sculpture and otherwise, the objects that they feel are the most urgent, the most important, the most communicative, and creating dialogue with them about how they would like to present their art to the world. Our spaces are only so big. We can only show so much art. And artists are constantly wanting to show the newest thing, the next thing. But, you know, my job in making those selections is really about centering the essence, helping and guiding the selection of artworks that tell coherent stories. And I don't mean narratives in the sense of an order of operations or moving from one place to another, but really communicating an idea through various facets or maybe reiterating one idea over and over again. And so selection happens perhaps a little more organically than can be described, but it really is a combination of intent on the artist's behalf and the kinds of stories that we can tell in our space.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. Lauren, can you tell us a little bit about the upcoming exhibition?
Sure. This spring, the Print Center will be hosting an exhibition by artist Cecilia Paredes, a Peruvian-born, Philadelphia-based photographer and sculptor. And this will be her first show in Philadelphia, despite having lived here for over 15 years.
Wow.
She makes beautiful photographs that she describes as performance photography. And we'll be showing two bodies of work in our exhibition, one in which she describes as landscapes, but are really, in actuality, landscapes of her body and landscapes of fabric. She selects fabrics, ornamental, decorative fabrics, paints her body to match the pattern ways of these fabrics, and then poses with them. In the second set of works, She then poses in abandoned industrial buildings in the Pennsylvania suburbs, engaging with these textile mills, creating costumes, and moving through them in an equally poignant form of landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And for her, whether these constructed textile performances or kind of more gestural engagements with machinery, she's an artist thinking about migration and movement, whether they be physical, geographic movements, being a person who had to leave countries in Latin America due to political unrest, but also the experience of emotional migration, the ways in which we leave places but perhaps never really forget them.
Oh, wow.
And lastly, we'll be showing a large sculpture of Called Wishes, where she's solicited the wishes of our community and will be sculpting a kind of paper tornado in our gallery.
That is going to be great.
It will. The show, it opens in April.
Okay.
And we have a reception with the artist on April 17th.
Oh, check that out, everyone. That'd be great to
see. We'll put that in the show notes, too.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. We'll move into our next segment, which are a couple of rapid-fire questions for you. If you could describe the Philly art scene in one word, what would it be?
Community.
Lovely. If you could have any piece of art in your home, what would it be?
Now, this is a very challenging question for somebody who loves art.
Yes.
And I imagine people have said that to you in the past.
Yeah.
If I were to select an artwork for my home, it would be a large abstract painting by Joan Mitchell, an important 20th century, mid-century abstract painter who was slightly younger than the generation of Jackson Pollock, but brought the kind of gusto and vigor and gesture and scale to abstraction that would only enliven, enrich, and create a vital space to live within.
Oh, that sounds great.
We're going to link her in the show notes.
A current artist that people are sleeping on.
Philadelphia-based.
I'm really excited about the work of photographer Will Harris, someone I've gotten to know in returning to Philadelphia recently. He has made a beautiful photo book called You Can Call Me Nana, in which he documents his relationship with his grandmother, who towards the end of her life suffered from dementia. And it's a moving portrait of her and her relationship with him that is never saccharine, but really a testament to love and affection in family. And it's absolutely beautiful.
That's great. That's great. And finally, your favorite beverage at the moment?
Oh, seltzer.
A flavor of choice?
No, I got a drink made, and it's an everyday thing for me now.
Perfect. Where can the audience find the Print Center?
You can find us at 1614 Latimer Street in the Rittenhouse neighborhood. We'd love to see you there, welcome you. You can also find us at printcenter.org.
Where can we find you on social media?
You can find us on Instagram at the Print Center.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time today, Lauren. And everyone, please check out the Print Center. They have amazing exhibitions that are coming up and that are currently there, and some great programming to check out. Thank you so much.
Eli, what are you getting into this weekend?
So this is actually kind of an exciting weekend. I've kind of booked out my Saturday. The plan is to take a train up to New York City. I'm going to be seeing Gautier Dance Company, which mm-hmm. is a European dance company. They're performing at the Joyce Theater, starting, I believe, on Wednesday, going through the weekend. I have a friend from USC in the company, so otherwise I wouldn't get to see them much because they live overseas. So getting to see them perform is super exciting. I'm going to see the matinee show. After that, I'm actually going to head over to New York City Center, and I'm seeing Twyla Tharp dance at Sydney Center this weekend. I have a friend in that show as well. Any opportunity I get to see a live dance performance, I almost always take it. The dance world, as you know, gets smaller and smaller as I just seem to get older and older. So I feel like I know of or have mutuals in a lot of the shows around Philly and New York, and so I can't wait to go see both of those this weekend. But what do you have going on?
Thursday or tomorrow, I'm going to the Henry Merker opening at Next Fab at the 1800 American location. Mm-hmm. And those who listened to our first podcast episode might remember Katie Sorensen of the Museum for Art and Wood speaking about how Henry really takes a sustainable approach to his art. This weekend, I'm going to visit the Bridget Meyer Gallery. Robert and I went to an opening there not too long ago for the PAFA show, and I understand that there's some Alan Bentley work in the vault there that I simply must check out. Robert and I are talking with Bridget about potentially doing a collab with her later in the year. Fingers crossed that it works out.
And with that, Philly has heart.
And art! If Swan Lake was just about a hunter horny for a swan.
Sure.